Good morning. I would like to express my sincere thanks to Dr. Walter Prantiville and colleagues in Ireland for the kind invitation and hospitality. In the next 20 minutes or so, I would like to give a coverage on the future of cervical precancer screening in the developing world. Screening for cervical cancer in developing countries is still at its infancy. Most countries, there are no screening programs. And in few countries, screening programs exist either nationally or regionally, but most of them are inefficient. For example, in many of the countries in the Latin American region, like Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Peru, Bolivia, Venezuela, Panama, Ecuador, Mexico, Costa Rica, and Cuba, cervical cancer screening programs were established as early as the 1960s and 70s. And most of these programs so far have very little impact on cervical cancer burden. And in fact, recently there have been efforts in Costa Rica, Chile, and Brazil to reorganize these programs. And as a result, already the mortality is declining in countries like Costa Rica and Chile. But in high-risk countries in sub-Saharan Africa and in Asia, like India, there are no screening programs, either regionally or nationally. Having said that, there are considerable opportunities for organizing screening programs in developing countries in terms of advocating a national policy, taking steps to allocate resources, and plan for a phased development where one will generate human resources, invest in healthcare infrastructure and treatment and follow-up services and information systems, and have a long-term plan for human resource development and sort of improve the health system infrastructure by investments in diagnosis and treatment. One can say that more than 60% of the population aged 30 years and above have been covered by at least a single round of screening in Cuba, Chile, Costa Rica, Hong Kong, Singapore, South Korea, Uruguay, and Taiwan. And in some of these countries, like Chile, Singapore, Costa Rica, South Korea, Taiwan, already there is a detectable decline in the risk of cervical cancer as a result of reorganization of programs. Having said this, investing in a cytology screening program is very challenging for many developing countries in terms of resources, particularly human resources and financial resources, as well as ensuring adequate inputs into the standards of the program, particularly in quality assurance, and then getting women back, the screen positive women back for diagnosis and treatment. The considerable challenges in organizing cervical cancer screening using cervical cytology in developing countries have prompted other screening tests to be evaluated. These are low technology approaches based on visual inspection after application of 3-5% acetic acid or leucoxidine or magnified visual inspection. And on the higher technology side, using HPV DNA testing as a primary screening approach. And again, one of the fundamental principles in such evaluation has been to use a test which is highly sensitive because women in developing countries cannot be frequently screened. In recent years, there have been a number of cross-sectional studies in developing countries in Asia, Africa, and Latin America to evaluate the accuracy of the different screening approaches such as conventional cytology, HPV DNA testing predominantly with hybrid capture 2 test and visual inspection with acetic acid or leucoxidine in detecting high-grade cervical precancerous lesions. Of course, in these studies, the sensitivity of each test varied considerably from as low as 30% to around 90%. What it shows is in different studies, there were different standards as far as the final reference diagnosis were established. The providers were had a very varying background, and in many of these places these studies were conducted for the first time. So there has been quite a lot of variation in the completeness of establishment of the final reference diagnosis, which has resulted in a considerable variation in sensitivity. And similarly, the specificity has also been varying, particularly for visual inspection tests, which varied between as low as 40% to and as high as 97%. But however, one particular aspect is evident. The visual tests had almost similar sensitivity as cytology in most studies where they were concurrently evaluated, although the specificity of the visual methods were lower than that of cytology. In recent years, there have been new paradigms proposed for programs in developing countries. One such new paradigm is reduced frequency of screening. Cervical cytology, in spite of its moderate sensitivity, was able to reduce the burden of cervical cancer in developed countries because the screening was carried out very frequently, like once in a year, as in the United States or Germany, or once in 3 years in most countries, and in some countries like once in 5 years. However, a frequently repeated screening is not possible in many of the developing countries because of resource constraints. So people were looking into the options of low intensity screening, like providing a good quality screening once in a lifetime or twice a lifetime. The second paradigm for programmatic approaches has been reducing the number of visits and improving adherence to treatment. Suppose if a screening test, the results are available only after, say, a week, as in the case of cervical cytology, that results in the woman to be recalled for diagnosis and treatment. And once you have more than one visit for completing a screening algorithm, then there is a high possibility of non-compliance to the second visit. So efforts were undertaken to have single visit approach in which screening and treatment is done in the same visit, or screening, diagnosis and treatment are done in the same visit. So a single visit approach was evaluated, and in order to improve the compliance of the screen positive women for treatment. Now we will consider three randomized trials from developing countries which evaluated the various approaches which we have discussed a little earlier for their effectiveness in reducing the burden of cervical neoplasia. The first study I am going to discuss is a randomized control trial of screen and treat approach for cervical cancer prevention carried out in Cape Town in South Africa. This is one of the cardinal studies and probably the first study to show by means of a single visit approach one can reduce the prevalence of cervical precancerous lesions. This study involved around 6,000 women who were screened with hybrid capture 2 test, that is HPV DNA testing, and visual inspection with acetic acid. And the women were randomized into three groups of approximately 2,200 women each. And in the first group of the 2,200 women, women who were positive on the HPV DNA test were offered cryotherapy, after excluding clinical evidence of invasive cancer. In the second group of 2,200 women, women who were positive on visual inspection with acetic acid were offered a double freeze cryotherapy by nurses. And in the third group of 2,200 women, nothing was offered immediately, but they were invited after 6 months. So there was a delayed evaluation. In fact, all the women, the 6,600 women, were called back after 6 months and all of them were subjected for colposcopy, and depending upon colposcopic findings, biopsies were directed. And the numbers of cervical precancerous lesions, particularly CIN2, CIN3 and invasive cancer, were counted in each of the groups. So, in the first group, who received cryotherapy following a positive hybrid capture 2 test, there were 15 cases of CIN2 or worse lesions at 6 months and 25 cases of CIN2 or worse lesions at 25 months. So the prevalence at 6 and 12 months of CIN2 or worse lesions in this group was 0.8% and 1.4% respectively. In the second group of women who received cryotherapy following a positive VIA, there were 43 cases of CIN2 or worse lesions at 6 months, that is 2.2%, and 54 cases of CIN2 or worse lesions at 12 months, which is almost like 3%. And the third group, the control group, which received delayed evaluation at 6 months, there were 65 cases of CIN2 or worse lesions at 6 months and 93 cases at 12 months. So what does it show? It shows there was almost like a 80% reduction in the prevalence of CIN2 or worse lesions in the group which received cryotherapy following a HPV test, as compared to almost like a 38% reduction in the prevalence of cervical precancerous lesions following cryotherapy following a positive VIA. It indicates that HPV testing has a higher sensitivity in correctly identifying screen-positive women with cervical precancerous lesions, and cryotherapy was highly effective in reducing the prevalence of lesions. And VIA, I mean, of course, it's a cheap test, and however, it is a test which gives immediate results. It was not bad. It almost resulted in something like a 39% reduction in prevalence, although it is inferior to HPV test. The second randomized trial I'm going to discuss is from Southern India, which has looked into the effectiveness of visual screening provided by nurses in reducing cervical cancer incidence and mortality. And this is again a very important study providing evidence on the clinical utility of visual screening. The objective of the study is to evaluate the reduction in cervical cancer incidence and mortality associated with a single round of screening provided by nurses as compared to a control group with no screening, and to evaluate the cost effectiveness of VIA screening. This slide is a little noisy, which shows the flow chart of the study design and results. So this was a cluster randomized trial. So there were 80,000 women aged 30 to 59 years in 113 clusters, which were randomized into two groups. So 57 clusters to receive a single round of VIA screening, which consisted of 49,000 women, and another 56 clusters, the remaining 56 clusters in the control group, which consisted of 31,000 women, to receive the usual care, which is no screening in the situation, but all of them received health education, how to prevent and early detect cervical cancer, and encouraged to seek services. And in the group which was randomized to VIA, they were invited, and 31,000 women participated in screening, which is something like 66% of the invited women participated in screening, and 10% of the women, screened women, were positive on VIA. They were provided immediate colposcopy in the same setting by nurses who assessed, and then from abnormal areas they directed biopsies, and lesions which were less than 3/4 of the transformation zone and suitable for cryotherapy were offered immediate cryotherapy after directing a biopsy. And those with larger lesions or lesions extending into the canal or the vagina or with suspicion of invasive cancer were referred to doctors for further evaluation. And those women identified with precancers were treated with cryotherapy or LEAP, and those with invasive cancers received surgery or radiation or combination of radiation or chemotherapy depending upon the stage of the disease. Both the groups of women then were followed for 7 years to document the incidence of cervical cancer and cervical cancer deaths. The follow-up was an extensive effort by linking with the population-based cancer registry, active household surveys of actively interviewing women, participating women and their family members to establish their vital status, and then a variety of approaches linked with the existing mortality systems. So considerable efforts were taken in both active and passive follow-up to ensure that we count every case of incident cervical cancer and cervical cancer deaths. So what are the results? The study began in 2000, and by 2006, that is 7 years of follow-up, these were the results. There were 167 cervical cancer cases and 38 cervical cancer deaths in the VAA group, as opposed to 158 cervical cancer cases and 92 deaths in the group randomized to the control group. So, these results, using appropriate statistical analysis for a cluster randomized design, showed there was a 25% reduction in cervical cancer incidence 6 years after the beginning of screening, and there was a 35% reduction in cervical cancer deaths. Both the results were statistically significant. And when we did further analysis by age groups, we found in the age group 30 to 39 years, there was a 38% reduction in cervical cancer incidence and about a 66% reduction in cervical cancer mortality. However, in the age groups 40 to 49 years and 50 to 59 years, the reductions in cervical cancer incidence and mortality did not reach statistical significance. And the results are perfectly plausible. Visual screening has a limitation. Visual screening is effective only when the transformation zone is visible. That is, only when you can trace the squamocolumnar junction in its entirety. When the transformation zone moves into the canal, visual screening is less successful. So, women who are in the 40s and 50s, they are postmenopausal, with a high frequency of resolution, the regression of the transformation zone into the canal. Number two, this study did not have a large number of women in the 40 or 50 to 59 year age group, so the study also lacked power. But overall, the study shows by adequate training, nurses can provide accurate visual screening, and they can provide efficient colposcopy and cryotherapy services, and cervical cancer incidence and mortality can be reduced by a single round of screening. We show the cumulative cervical cancer incidence, the cumulative stage 1B or worse disease incidence, or stage 2 or worse disease incidence, and cumulative mortality in the intervention and control groups in this randomized trial. As you see here, the two curves go on widening as the follow-up time evolves, which is very interesting and significant. In fact, we start seeing the differences in incidence quite earlier than the differences in mortality start emerging. The third study which I'm going to discuss is a randomized trial in Western India. The results are not yet published, so the results are preliminary, and I wouldn't like to be quoted at this point of time. The results are going to be submitted for peer review and publication in 2008. This is a study conducted in collaboration with the Tata Memorial Center and the Nargis Dutt Memorial Cancer Hospital, Barshi, in India, through the funding support through the Alliance for Cervical Cancer Prevention, supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This is a randomized trial in which three screening approaches were evaluated: visual inspection with acetic acid, or HPV testing, or conventional cytology. Again, single rounds of screening provided by auxiliary nurse midwives. The primary objectives of this trial is to evaluate the reduction in cervical cancer incidence and mortality associated with a single round of screening with either visual inspection with acetic acid or cytology or HPV testing, as compared to a control group of women receiving usual care with no screening, and to evaluate the cost-effectiveness of the above three approaches. This study involved around 130,000 women aged 30 to 59 years. Again, a cluster randomized trial. So they were in 52 clusters. 13 clusters were randomized to each of the groups. So the group, 13 clusters randomized to the control group, had 31,000 women. The 13 clusters randomized to the HPV testing group had 34,000 women. And the 13 clusters randomized to the pap smear group had 32,000 women. And the group randomized to the VIA had almost like 34,000 women. The study started in 2000. Screening was completed in 2003. Here, VIA were provided by auxiliary nurse midwives, and the cervical cells were collected for pap smear or HPV testing by auxiliary nurse midwives. However, colposcopy was provided by trained general doctors as well as gynecologists for screen positive women. Cryotherapy was carried out by nurses and LEAP by general doctors and gynecologists. And wherever possible, the single visit approach was used, that is particularly for the VIA group. The VIA positive women were offered colposcopy immediately in the same setting. So after 8 years of follow-up from 2000, these are our results. In fact, this shows a significant reduction in cervical cancer mortality associated with HPV testing. Also, a significant reduction in the incidence of advanced cervical cancer in this group. The mortality reductions in the pap smear group and VIA group have not yet reached statistical significance in this study. These results are preliminary. I wouldn't like to be quoted. This is only for educational purposes here. These curves show the cumulative incidence and mortality in the different study groups as the follow-up evolves. And as you see here, the incidence rate of the cumulative incidence rate of stage 2 or worse cervical cancers and cervical cancer mortality, it goes on declining as compared to the control group as follow-up advances. And the reductions in the VIA and cytology group have not yet reached statistical significance. One of the most interesting observations in the study is the negative predictive value, the long-term negative predictive value of each screening approach in terms of cervical cancer. We do screening essentially to prevent invasive cancer. And whenever we discuss the outcome of a study in terms of cervical intraepithelial neoplasia, there is considerable debate: what is the diagnostic validity of the CIN in the study? There is considerable variation in the agreement between pathologists in diagnosing CIN2 as well as CIN3, but there is no doubt about cancer. Invasive cancer is definite and kills if not properly treated or if detected in advanced stages. A long-term follow-up of the screen negative women in our study provides the unique opportunity to address what is the incidence of cervical cancer in the screen negative women. In fact, among 24,000 HPV negative women, there were 8 cervical cancer cases as compared to 23 and 22 cervical cancer cases in the cytology and VIA groups respectively. which indicates a very high negative predictive value for HPV negativity in our study. And in fact, the negative predictive value is almost fivefold higher than that of a VIA negativity or cytology negativity. I mean, we all agree that HPV DNA testing is more sensitive and highly reproducible and the most objective cervical cancer screening test available. But the problem is the current test format is expensive and cumbersome and time-consuming, and it is not feasible in many low-resource settings. That is the problem. HPV testing is very useful, but we need simple, rapid, affordable, acceptable and accurate HPV test formats for use in developing countries. 5 years ago, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation supported an initiative to develop HPV tests, affordable and accurate HPV tests suitable for use in developing countries. This particular program was coordinated by the Program for Appropriate Technology in Health in collaboration with industrial partners like the Digene and later Qiagen and the Arborvita Corporation, as well as academic institutions in China, the Cancer Institute of the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences, principal investigator Dr. Yulin Chao, and the International Agency for Research on Cancer in France, the Tata Memorial Center in Mumbai, India, and the Nargis Dutt Memorial Cancer Cancer Hospital in Barshi, India, the principal investigators, Dr. Ketar and Dr. Nene, to develop and validate suitable HPV tests for use in developing countries. One of the outcomes of this study has been the development and validation of a new HPV test called CARE HPV test. This is a rapid test. Results are available within 3 hours, and it is a much more simple test than the existing hybrid capture 2, and technicians and nurses and health workers can be trained rapidly to run this test. So when women wait, the results will be available in 2.5 hours, so they can be diagnosed and treated. And this test is expected to cost less than $5. And recently, the first results of validation of this test in terms of its accuracy and the comparative accuracy in detecting CIN2 or worse lesions were from in China were recently published. So this shows the equipment for the CARE HPV testing. This shows the agreement between Hybrid Capture 2 and the new CARE HPV test. And in fact, the agreement is excellent, as indicated by a kappa value of 0.9. The recent studies from China indicate the CARE HPV test has a higher sensitivity than visual inspection with acetic acid and a similar sensitivity as that of liquid-based cytology and HPV testing in detecting CIN2 or worse disease. So we are in exciting times now. About 10 years ago, we didn't know how to proceed for organizing cervical cancer screening programs in developing countries. We have an enormous wealth of information about the screening test now, so that people can judge what they would like to use and what are the costs involved and what are the returns. Enormous information has been laid in front of scientists, public health experts, policymakers, and clinicians to choose from a vast basket. The fundamental principle is, whatever test we use, whether it is a visual test or a HPV test or cytology, training of providers is vitally important, quality assurance is important, and following screen-positive women with diagnosis, treatment and follow-up care is important, and the entire information has to be captured in a properly designed and implemented information system so that one is able to monitor and evaluate the programs appropriately. So an appropriate linkage with testing, diagnosis, treatment, monitored and evaluated by an information system is the key for success of screening programs in developing countries. And there is considerable evidence from randomized studies that some of the new approaches like visual testing or HPV DNA testing and new paradigms in programmatic approaches like single visit approach, the same day screening, diagnosis and treatment, or same day screening and treating is safe, acceptable to women, and results in reduction in cervical neoplasia are evident. And it is the time to act. In the context of these studies, the IARC screening group has developed several training materials for colposcopy, visual screening, cytology, HPV testing, cryotherapy, loop electrosurgical excision procedure, etc. in several languages, digitally and in the form of printed manuals, which can be downloaded from their website. The Alliance of Cervical Cancer Prevention and their 5 partners, supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, have produced an excellent managerial manual for organization and management of cervical cancer screening programs. The World Health Organization has produced a comprehensive cervical cancer guide for the healthcare providers in appropriately using the different screening approaches and treating women with cervical neoplasia. So there are enormous resources available for advancing cervical cancer prevention in the third world. Thank you for your attention.